Today I'd like to focus on the amazing first reading we have from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, St. Paul in Athens. If you've been to Athens, you know it's an amazing city to see the Parthenon and the other buildings that are in Athens, and just to think of the history with Plato and Aristotle and the Greek philosophers. And here St. Paul goes into Athens to spread the gospel. And what we can learn is from St. Paul's speech is we have the first account of Christian apologetics, especially to the pagans, to the Gentiles, to the Greek philosophers. So we can learn a lot from St. Paul on how he dealt with these pagans, these philosophers. And so what we see here is a brilliant discourse on Christian apologetics and the reasonableness of belief in the one true God and in Jesus Christ whom he sent. We see Paul is taken to Athens and he goes into what's called the Areopagus. The Areopagus was the main town square. It was the marketplace for trading and buying and selling. People would have their merchandise there. But it was also a place for discussion, especially for philosophical discussions, and especially anything new. And so the philosophers would gather at one end of the Areopagus and talk about the latest philosophies. And notice what St. Paul does. He's as innocent as a dove, but he's as clever as a serpent that Jesus would talk about. And he begins by complimenting them, by paying them a compliment. Just like if you get a shot, they put something to deaden the pain. So St. Paul wants to first compliment these pagan philosophers. And he says, I see that in every respect, you are very religious. So he compliments their desire to be religious, their desire to know God and to learn more about truth. So he doesn't condemn them. He tries to pick out something that is good and then he builds on that. The church has always done that for 2,000 years. It takes whatever good it finds in different cultures, and then it baptizes it, it sanctifies it, it elevates it, and brings it to the fullness of truth. So first he shows respect for their desire to learn about God. But of course, they are way off track because he had looked around and he noticed all these pagan shrines to all the pagan gods, hundreds of them, to different gods. He had Zeus and Hermes and Venus and all the different gods that they had and were worshiping. And then St. Paul says he even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown God. Why would they have a shrine to an unknown God? Because they were so superstitious, they didn't want to offend a God they might have been neglecting. So they wanted to cover themselves just in case there was some God out there that they forgot to honor. And so they put a shrine to an unknown God. Notice what Paul does. He takes that idea of an unknown God and tells them there is a God that you don't know. And it's the one true God, not these pagan gods, not these idols made of gold and silver and stone or human art or imagination. It is the creator of the universe, the creator of all things. Yes, there is an unknown God, and there is only one God. And it says, this God that you unknowingly worship, I shall proclaim to you. It is the God who made the world, who made the heavens and the earth. And he does not dwell in sanctuaries made of human hands. He is a transcendent God. And that, then what Paul does in this brilliant discourse, he even quotes one of their pagan poets. He quotes Aratus, Aratus, Aratus from the 3rd century BC, a Stoic poet who once wrote, "In him we live and move and have our being." He says, as even some of your own poets have said, "For we too are his offspring." So Paul is brilliant. He shows that this God that they sort of have an altar to, an unknown God, is the only one true God in whom we live and move and have our being. And even though they've been ignorant up until now, he says they got to get their act together, because he has established a day in which he will judge the world with justice. Through a man he has appointed. It's interesting, he doesn't say Jesus' name. He just calls him a man whom God has appointed. And he has provided confirmation for all of us by raising him from the dead. So obviously he's talking about Jesus Christ, that he raised Jesus from the dead. So this is how St. Paul gives his talk. First, by looking for some element of truth that they have, building upon it, elevating them to stop worshiping idols and pagan gods. But there is one true God, and he sent his Son, who he has raised from the dead. This is Christian apologetics. And then lastly, it says, well, once they heard about the resurrection of the dead, they began to scoff. They began to mock him, and says, well, we'll hear about from you on some other day. They were putting him off. And notice, Paul left them, just as Jesus said. You preach the gospel, if they accept you, wonderful. If they don't, shake the dust off your feet and keep going somewhere else. And notice, though, he did have a few converts. Only mentions a few, Dionysius and Damaris, a man and a woman, and yet maybe a few others, it says, became believers. And that's sort of comforting to know that even St. Paul, even though he was brilliant and holy, he did not convert everyone. He gave everybody the opportunity for salvation, to accept God and accept Christ. But notice, only a handful accepted. So our job, of course, it's God's job to convert people. Our job is to share the gospel with others. Some seed will fall on good soil, others will fall on shallow soil, others will fall on rocky ground. That's not up to us. We spread the gospel as best we can, and some seed will fall on good soil. It fell on Dionysius and Demaris. But what about all the hundreds of others that heard Paul's message? Well, we leave that to the mercy of God. And that's encouraging when we do evangelization. Now, even St. Paul did not convert everyone. He spread the gospel, he did his best, and then he left it up to the Lord. So when we do the same thing, we should never get discouraged that only a handful or a few people accept the gospel message. Our job is to be faithful transmitters of the gospel of Jesus Christ, like St. Paul was, and then we leave the conversions up to the grace of God.